On Wednesday nights, we're discussing the consequences of rejecting the authority of Christ and looking specifically at certain things that we can identify with. Of course, when we talk about consequences, we're talking about the results or the things that happen when you do something, make a choice. What do those effects look like? And so there is a cause and effect situation here. If Christ, who has all authority, according to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Jesus so then commands that we utilize that authority correctly, and we go into all the world and we preach the gospel. The gospel, of course, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that would believe. And so the gospel is important. It's necessary. It represents the authority of God. It's powerful. In particular, though, my subject matter is what do the consequences look like for the Jewish people for rejecting the authority of Christ? Now, that's no small subject matter, and we could spend a series talking about it, but let's isolate a few things and talk about something I know you will not forget. In Matthew 23, Jesus will give an entire chapter, or an entire chapter is dedicated to the scribes and the Pharisees, and Jesus is recorded by inspiration by the Apostle Matthew declaring their hypocrisy. Now, the word hypocrisy is interesting because the word comes from the idea of being an actor or stage player, a fake, a fraud. You put on an act, you act a certain way, but you're not that way. That's not who you are. And so in Matthew 23, he speaks to the multitude and to his disciples in verse 1. So this declaration of hypocrisy against the Jewish people, particularly the scribes and the Pharisees, is to the multitude and the disciples. I think that's interesting to point out. In verse 2, he makes a statement and says, they sit in Moses' seat. Somewhat of an idiom or a way of saying they sit in the seats of authority. They give all the righteous declarative authority and implement it, or see that it's implemented, the law of Moses, the Old Testament. But then you'll notice he says they don't apply it to themselves. They say and they do not. In verse 3, he even says, well, you do what they say. Whatsoever they bid, you observe, is the way it's said in the King James Bible. You do that, but don't do after their works because they're hypocrites. They say and do not. But they sit in the seats of authority, much like people today that we talk about, like politicians and so forth, that sit in the seat of authority, but they're hypocrites. It's hard to respect that when you know that. But then notice how they bind heavy burdens in verse 4. Somewhat of a typical reaction to hypocrites. They're hypocrites. They bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they lay them on your shoulders. But they themselves will not move one of their fingers. They're hypocrites. Oh, they got all the ideas, and they carry all the weight and all the authority. And so he says in verse 5, all their works are for to be seen of men. And so he gives you a really good illustration of what, it's interesting, an actor looks like. An actor gets on stage and does things because he likes to be seen. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it. That's what actors do, and they get paid a lot of money. And people watch them. And they're fascinated by that. It was popular in the Roman days, and it's still popular today. I would advise you to watch what you watch out of Hollywood nowadays or those arenas, but nonetheless, we're still intrigued by that. But just remember these principles. But I want you to notice here at the end of all this, look at chapter 23 and look at verses 37 and following. He talks about what's going to happen to this generation. In verse 36, he says these things are going to come upon this generation. He talks about the bad things that they had done, really starting in verse 33 and following. He calls them a generation of vipers, serpents. And you notice there in verse 33 where he says, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Remember, my subject is, what do the consequences of the Jewish people rejecting the authority of Christ look like? Well, it's right here. Jesus is predicting exactly what's going to happen to himself. You're going to crucify me in verse 34. It's not the first time you've done this. Historically refers back to the things that have happened in the past. You kill and crucify. That's what they do. You scourge. In your synagogues, you persecute them from city to city. And then he says in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? Here's the authority of Christ. I would have gathered the Son of God. I would have gathered you together. I would have saved you. I'd have protected you. I'd have loved you. I love you still. I know he loved them because when they crucify him and he's on the cross, he says on the cross before he dies and gives up his spirit, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says here again, I would have gathered thy children, your children, the most precious thing you possess, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. But you would not. You reject me. You reject the authority of Christ. And this is what's going to happen to you in verse 38. Your house is left unto you desolate. There's one of your consequences. You reject the authority of Christ, practically speaking, in time, your house will be desolate. You won't have anything to speak of, so to speak, a legacy or anything that represents truth. It'll be all sin and chaos, and it'll just be, again, in time, devoured. Just complete chaos. Your house is left unto you desolate. Verse 39, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And there could be two different ideas there. One, a particular reference to the destruction, the ultimate consequence that would come 40 years later after this declaration. The destruction, the totality of the destruction of that temple in Jerusalem, as a result of their rejection of the authority of Christ. And certainly it can apply to the day of judgment when he comes back. And it's too late then because they haven't repented. They couldn't repent. They're dead and gone. And their fate is sealed. And so look at chapter 24. When Jesus again, departing on this context or this conversation, departs from the temple, and his disciples want to ask more questions about the sermon there, the declaration. And then they're looking at the temple and they're saying, look at this great temple, the buildings of the temple. In verse 1, that's the Herodian temple complex, a masterfully built architectural, again, something that the world, the known world spoke about. Herod the Great or Herod the Terrible to the Jew, this master architect who... That's interesting. During the days of the destruction of Jerusalem, even his own private house at Masada will be the last holdout, and it will be destroyed by the Romans because the Jews thought they could seek refuge up there too for running away from this. But notice here what Jesus says in verse 2, and this is a specific statement to the consequence of them rejecting. He says to his own disciples, see not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And in AD 70, the Roman general Titus, the son of Vespasian, the Caesar at the time, had had enough of the insurrection of the Jewish people. Had had enough of their rebellious spirit and their attitude not only against Christ and his authority, but even as it carried over to the Roman rule and the power of the empire, went down into Jerusalem and besieged that city. And you can read about this in secular history, but the Jewish people were so stubborn that they believed, according to history's chronicles, Josephus and others that I've read, that record the very events that took place, that the Roman generals actually in their brigades on the front lines were begging the Jewish people to surrender. To surrender. And you talk about, again, a stubborn, obstinate people that had rejected the authority of Christ. That's the reason why this will take place. They were begging them to surrender, and they would not. With women and children inside the compound of Jerusalem, please surrender because we have no other action of our own authority but to destroy you if you will not surrender. Women, children. You can read about the starvation taking place over the years of just being besieged. They were not allowing food and water in. And so women who had children were boiling their own babies. The chronicles of history tell us, and cannibalizing their own children because of their own stubbornness and their unwillingness to repent. That's what it boils down to. And just as Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. Why did Jesus say those words? Because he knew how stubborn-hearted they were. They would not repent. And Rome annihilated them. And God used them, just like he still uses people today, to bring about judgment who are so stubborn and will not repent of their sins. But we have these stories to teach us not to repeat those behaviors. They're true stories. We're not making this stuff up. I watch today people acting so chaotic and so immoral, godless, and I just want to embrace them and say, why do you do that? I can't save the whole world. But I try one person at a time. Every person I talk to is a potential for repentance to receive God's love. Every person. But it seems to me that most people are just still stubborn. And what are the consequences of rejecting the authority of Christ? It's annihilation. It's destruction. As Jesus said, and he still says in principle, I would take your children in. I would love them. I would protect them as a mother hen protects her chicks. Our Lord and Savior still makes that promise today. But remember the word of the Lord when he said to those Jewish people, but you would not. And if that's the way it's going to be, God will not bless you. He cannot protect you. And you are subject to the realities and the cruelties of this world, the wickedness of this world, this corruption that's in this world. I can't fix all that. But I can motivate and encourage people to repent of their sins so that you don't fall into that trap of destruction, that lifestyle. If you'll follow Christ, if you'll follow God, because he showed us the perfect way. Oh, if the Jews had just repented, you'd wonder what would have happened. But history's already been told on that. What will you do? I pray that you will not reject the authority of Christ. I pray that you will accept every word that he teaches. That you will believe with all your heart that he is the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son. That based upon that faith, you would be purely motivated to repent of your sins, to change your lifestyle, to live the way he teaches us to live. His way is the right way. That's what's so beautiful about this is the Christian life is the right way to live. There's no other way to live. You can try other ways, but they will end in destruction. That's why Jesus says, I know what I'm talking about. I was there at creation. I made this world. My laws are right. My authority is true. It is what's good for you. It's not bad for you. But how many people think it's bad for them? Because they want to do what they want to do. They want to live like Satan. They want to have fun, pleasures of sin for a season. But Jesus says, if you'll just repent, make up your mind to follow me, I promise you my way is the right way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. That's a true statement. And then confess him before men publicly. I confess that Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, based upon your faith. And he'll confess you before his Father, which is in heaven. And be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins, for he is the one that said it. And he commissioned it to go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, what does he say? Consequences of your sin. He shall be damned or condemned. So that still stands today. Don't reject the authority of Christ. It ended horribly for the Jewish people. It'll end horribly for you. But it doesn't have to be that way. You're amongst many people here that have made that good confession to do what is right. And we want to embrace you and help you here at the 9th and Main Church of Christ. Can we help you? Do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? It is his, not mine. If we can help you, why don't you let us know as together we stand and we sing. Won't you come?